Well, good morning, Jacobswell. Nice to see you on this St. Patrick's Day, even if I'm not Irish. I don't really celebrate it or anything. But well, as Greg mentioned this morning, we're continuing in our Life Size series, and this morning our theme is Supersize Me. Because I've already gotten questions about that this morning, we're going to talk about some things that Supersize Me is not about. So, first of all, how many of you have seen the movie Supersize Me? Okay, it's not about French fries today. And it's not about supersizing our waist with all those French fries. So that's one thing it's not about. It's not also not about being supersized like a superhero, like Superman or Wonder Woman. Okay, it's not like that at all. It's also not like becoming a big monster and getting supersized with, I don't know, fanaticism or with anger or anything like that. So it's not like the Incredible Hulk. And it's not even about becoming rich and famous. So in fact, when we are talking about supersize me, what we're talking about are things that are itty-bitty. And you might have seen that if you saw the emails this week. So we're talking about ways that involve, that you're supersized, that involve your identity, your possibility, and humility. And these might be things that you wouldn't think about when you think about supersizing. And so when you're supersized by God, you're empowered by God to be a co-creator in this world. When God supersizes you, you're free to be a light to those around you. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So I want you to take a minute. You have a Sunday paper. And I want you to take a minute to answer two questions, and you'll see them down here on your Sunday paper. So the first question is, name a time when someone did something for you or said something to you that really made a difference in your life. And if you'd like, you can write that down or think of it. And the second question, and I'll give you a minute to think about this, name a time when you did something for or said something to someone else that really made a difference in that person's life. So think about those two questions that are up there and either think about them or write them down. Do you have a couple things in mind? So I imagine that for many of you, the things that you thought of were not something heroic, but rather something that seemed small but was really significant in your life. Two of the things that I'm going to share, a couple of the things that I thought of. The first, answering the question, what somebody did for me that made a difference for me. And that I've shared with you previously that my dad had cancer and died last summer. And my dad, he was quite a character, and sometimes really embarrassingly so for his children. But he wanted to make sure that everybody knew his name, and he also knew everybody's name. So when he would go to the chemo clinic, he knew the person, what do you call the person who draws your blood flow? He knew that person's name. He knew all of the nurses by name. He knew the doctors by name. He knew everybody, and they all knew him. And he also knew the names of all their kids, and it was really important to him. And he would greet everybody by name. So there came a point when it became clear to everybody that chemo wasn't going to be working for my dad anymore. And so the staff at the chemo clinic got together, and they just took pictures of everybody, and they wrote their names. They made a small photo album that had pictures of every person and had their name by it. So we all knew that my dad wasn't going to be able to enjoy that book for very long, but that small act really made a big difference for my dad, and it made a big difference for us. And so that's one thing that I can say about something that somebody did for me. Now, sometimes, especially being Minnesota humble, you might say, it's a little bit more difficult for us to talk about something that we might have done that made a little difference in somebody else's life. And one of the things that I thought about actually happened a number of years ago, and I was reminded of it because of all the snow that just won't go away. I don't know if you're as tired of it as I am, but But anyways, this was a number of years ago. I was a grad student at the University of Minnesota, and I was walking in Dinkytown. It was a day even colder than this, and there was ice everywhere. And you know where the McDonald's is on University Avenue? So I was walking across the street from there, and there's a bridge. And there were a lot of people around because, you know, it's Dinkytown. There's people there. And everybody's hurrying because it's really cold. And there was one gentleman walking across the bridge who was walking rather slowly and who was kind of in some ways yelling almost, but just speaking really loudly, but it was unintelligible. You couldn't understand what he said. And people just either looked at him kind of strangely or they just walked by. And for some reason in that moment, I looked at him and actually saw who he was. And what he was asking for was somebody's arm because he couldn't make it across the bridge because he had some kind of a physical disability that made it hard for him to get across the bridge, and all he needed was an arm. And so that day, I was able to be that arm for him. You know, I don't know how many times I've been the one to walk by, but that particular day, I was able to give him an arm. I was able to see him and able just to help him get across that bridge. So it was a small difference that I made that day for somebody. So today we're talking about our relationships with God and with others that supersize or empower us, and in turn enable us to help empower or supersize others in our relationships. So the first idea I want you to consider is that identity begs for visibility. And that's one of the fill-ins on your Sunday paper, too. So to talk about that, I want you to think about what's in a name, right? Sometimes there's just a simple meaning in your name, like Melissa means honeybee, and you know, it's kind of cool, I guess. But have any of you ever forgotten somebody's name? And how does that feel when you forget somebody's name? A little embarrassing sometimes? Or has anybody ever forgotten your name? And how does that feel when somebody forgets your name? It can be annoying. Sometimes it even kind of makes you upset because, you know that person. And sometimes it's actually rather funny because, you know, like you actually know the person and you forget their name. Right, Greg?
That's right,
Michelle. So sometimes, you know, it can be kind of a funny thing too, but your name is really important. I was a teacher for a long time before I began studying to be a pastor, and I know a lot of you are teachers too, and you know in your classroom you have to learn every student's name for a couple reasons. One is it's, I think, just a sign of respect. I mean, you know, you want to see that person. Secondly, if you want to have any kind of classroom management, you have to know the kids' names. If you say, hey, you, can you stop talking? They just look at you and go, blah, 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 and keep talking. It makes classroom management much easier if you actually know that student's name and can address them by name. But most importantly, as a teacher, when you know that person's name, it means you're recognizing them. You're starting to get to know them, and you're starting to open up a relationship with them, and you're starting to understand that they have a unique personality. They're not just one student in the classroom. They're a very specific person in that classroom. And it helps establish that student's identity in your relationship. So this morning, we're going to talk about Moses. Any of you ever heard of Moses in the Old Testament? A few people? Ever heard of the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? Did any of you watch that growing up like I did? Yeah. And so Easter's coming. I think it's going to be on TV again. And you can watch it, but it's not exactly like what it says in the Bible, which is fine, just so you know that. And but one of the things about Moses is that he was born a Hebrew. And at the time that he was born, all of the Hebrew boys were supposed to be killed. So his mom was pretty smart. She didn't want him to die. So she put him in a wicker basket. She floated him down the Nile River. The Pharaoh's daughter saw him and decided to adopt him. And then his mother became the nursemaid and raised him. Then he was adopted and moved into Pharaoh's household. In the midst of that, he saw that his people, the Hebrews, were enslaved. And so he got really angry one day when somebody was beating up one of the slaves, and he killed that person. And so, just like anyone else would do, he ran away because he was afraid he would get in trouble. He went to another land. He became a foreigner in that land, and he was hiding. But he met a woman. Got married, and became a shepherd. Okay, so that's that's Moses' childhood and early adulthood in a nutshell. But the reason that we're talking about this is that Moses had a really mixed identity. Okay, he was a complex person, like so many of the characters in the Bible. He's Hebrew. He's an adoptee. He's an Egyptian, sort of. He's a foreigner. He's a person without a land. He's a husband and a son-in-law, probably a father. He's a shepherd. He's a murderer. He's Moses. So all of these things in his past and his present, the way he sees people, or the way people see him, or the way he hides himself, those all help establish his identity. So Moses, one day he's tending his sheep, just like everybody else, and he sees this bush. And the bush has a fire in it. But the fire isn't burning the bush. So Moses walks over and looks at the bush, and he hears God calling him. And God says, "Moses, Moses." And God identifies God's self and says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hides his face as if you can really hide from God. But that's what Moses did. And he's afraid to look at God. Remember that when you hide your face and when you hide your identity, you're trying to make yourself invisible, at least in some ways. And it reduces a relationship, or it cuts you off from relationship. But in this case, God has a different idea. And with us too, God has a different idea, even when we try to hide our identity. So God tells Moses, the Hebrews are enslaved. They've been crying to me. I have heard their cries. I've heard them, and I want to deliver them, and you're going to help me do it. And Moses is kind of like, who, me? I'm just, you know, I'm nobody. Who am I? And he says, and for that matter, who are you? And so Moses starts kind of talking to God. But notice that God came to Moses. God came to Moses, and he opened up a relationship with Moses so that they could be in conversation. And so still Moses is really unsure. God says, this is what you're going to do. He doesn't tell him how he's going to do it, but God tells him, you're going to go save the people from their slavery. And Moses is kind of like, oh no, I'm not good enough to do that. He has a lot of doubt. He makes himself small and continues to try to make himself somewhat invisible. He doubts God and he doubts himself. And Moses tries to make excuses. I'm not good enough. I can't speak enough. I can't speak well enough. And God is right there with him. He says, yes, you can. And I'm going to be right there with you. And because God has called Moses by name, he's already changed their relationship. God came to Moses right where he was so that they could be in a genuine conversation. He didn't say to Moses, you don't know who you are, or you're not good enough. God called Moses by name. He knew who Moses was, and he went to him anyway. So even though Moses is trying to hide from the world around him, God knows who he is. And God knows who he can be. Right? And that's how God is with us too. God knows Moses' name, and God knows your name. God tells Israel, and God tells us, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, here's one of the things. When God calls you by name, you're given an identity. a new identity. And this identity begs for visibility. So visibility can be great. I mean, it's really nice when somebody sees you for who you are. That's often what we want. In our relationships, we want somebody to know who we are, we want them to accept who we are, and we want them to see us. Sometimes it's a little bit scary to be the visible person. Sometimes you want to be like Moses and hide yourself. Sometimes you don't even know exactly what your identity is. But God sees you for who you are, just like He saw Moses, just like God saw Moses for who he was. And God sees you for who you can be. So God sees where you are, and by claiming you, God calls you to be radically different from who you are too. And you're called to live into a new identity. So sometimes that's really uncomfortable. Sometimes it's more comfortable to just stay as I am. But God calls you into a new reality. And God sees possibility in you, and this possibility creates a new reality, and God's a co-creator in that with you. So with Moses, God sees possibility even where Moses might not realize his own potential. Moses' life has been full of ups and downs. It's full of false starts and impulsive moves that might not have been what was in God's plan. But God takes Moses where he is and works with him. He sees what's possible for him and creates a new reality. And through Moses, God creates a new reality for the people of Israel. It leads them out of slavery. So one of my professors wrote about Moses, and I meant to put a slide on there. I'm sorry I didn't this morning. But God's creative work in Moses' life to this point has shaped a human being with endowments suited for the tasks ahead. God is a God who sees Moses for who he is and is a God who wants Moses to be seen for who he is. Because when someone knows your name, you become visible. And when you are in relationship with God and with those around you, you open yourself up to others and to God. So one visible sign of this new identity and God knowing your name is baptism. We'll have a baptism here next week. And so what happens in baptism is that you receive a new identity. Your name is Melissa, in my case, child of God, because God claims you in that. And you're called to be a light to the world. And so the person being baptized, if they're older, or the sponsor, if they're a baby, gets that candle. And you're called to be a light in the world, to shine that light. As new beings in baptism, God calls you and tells you that you were created good, that you have great possibility, and that you live with a new reality because God has chosen you and God has named you. Through this, God has forgiven all of your brokenness, and God wants to be in right relationship with you. And through your baptism, God promises to be faithful to you even when you're not always faithful to God. So that possibility becomes a new reality. And when you're baptized or as a child of God, God doesn't say you have to be, God sees you as you are. And that's the starting point. And God walks with you through your life's journey and is a co-creator with you for a new reality. The other thing about baptism, it's not just the individual, it's a community. So when somebody's baptized, you, Jacob's Well, are part of that person's life. You also see the possibility in the person being baptized, and you walk with that person as a co-creator with that person too, to do God's work here. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So, Justin, I could sing in the message today, "This Little Light of Mine." It reminds me of that. You might have sung that as a kid. But. So why does this matter? What does it mean to be the light of the world? It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be Mother Teresa or Gandhi. And one note of caution, when you become visible, it can be really easy for your ego to become visible as well. So instead of being supersized, you might become bloated. So that's just one note of caution. But really what the new reality involves is humility. When you're humble and live in humility, you know that everything that you have is God's. Who you are and what you have is God's. And in humility, you can share who you are and what you are. So I'm not necessarily talking about money, although generosity with money is a wonderful thing, but generosity with who you are as a person and how you can share your light with others. So Easter will be here in 2 weeks, and when we celebrate Easter, we're celebrating that God loved us so much that God sent Jesus to die for us, and through Jesus' resurrection, we receive our new identity. And if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Sometimes you don't see it, how you can be supersized, but God does see it. And because God supersizes you, you're able to take that difficult step into what God is calling you to be. You can be generous with your own identity. You can share who you are with others. And when you share who you are with others, you begin to see new possibilities. You see what others can do, and you see what God can do working through you. So I want you to go back to the questions you started with. What somebody did for you and something that you did for somebody else. Because I don't have an answer for how you can be supersized. Actually, I do. God is with you, and that supersizes you. But the question then is, how are you empowered to supersize others? And that's something that each of us finds individually, and that God walks with us as we're figuring all that out. So when you think about what somebody did that supersized you, or that you did to help supersize somebody else, did it help you understand who you are? Did it show you some part of your identity that maybe you didn't realize? Or maybe it helped you imagine a new possibility in your own life, or opened up some doors where you didn't know there were any. And why did that person do that? Or why did you do it? Did you get a diploma or an award? Maybe. But oftentimes it's the small things that you don't really get a lot of recognition for. It's in that humility of being with others and serving others that we're really supersized. So God gives you a new identity, which begs for visibility. God sees possibility and works with you to create a new reality. And in God's love, your humility ignites your generosity. So let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for clothing us in a new identity in you. Thank you for seeing possibility in us. Help us to see that possibility in our own lives and in the lives of others too, so that we may be co-creators of a new reality that reflects your love and care for us and others. In humility, we recognize that all that we have is yours, and through you, we are freed to be generous with all that you have given us. Bless us with your presence in our lives and help us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.